Well, good morning, everybody. It is nice to be back up here speaking. But to be honest, it's actually really hard. It's been a long week re-stretching myself, re-remembering how to go about putting a sermon together. I know it's only been a couple of weeks, but somebody asked me if I was back to normal this morning. I don't even need to make the joke. You all know there's no... There's no back to normal for me. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump into this story of Isaac. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your son given for us, that we would be able to follow you and know you. God, we ask in this moment, this morning, that you would allow our hearts to understand you more, that you would allow us to perceive your honor and your glory to a greater extent than we have before. Be glorified in us, teach us, guide us, convict us, grow us, and change us. We do love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Did you know that approximately 1% of all of the colonists who were alive at the beginning of the Revolutionary War, died in the war? That's approximately 25,000 people. So 25,000 people died for a desire that they never saw come. They walked into battle knowing that they were potentially never going to see the freedom that they were fighting to have, that we now enjoy. And they did it willingly. They did it with trust. They did it with faith that what they were trying to accomplish would be accomplished whether or not they survived to see it. And that's what we have in our story this morning. The picture of faith that we have from Isaac is the picture of faith of a man who could not even begin to see what God was doing and what God was going to accomplish, even though he had promised to do it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 says this. And if you're not familiar with our system here, you can follow the verses that we're using this morning. If you take your phone and follow the QR code in the bulletin, that'll take you through all the verses. Or you can pull out your handy-dandy Bible and flip along with me. Sometimes I'll go faster than it's easy to find things. But we're going to start at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. That's the whole passage in Hebrews about Isaac and his faith, about Isaac and what he was doing, but it's poignant and it's important. What we see here is that it's future blessings that Isaac invoked on these two men. It hadn't come yet. They were not yet a great nation. God had promised to do that, but it had not yet happened. And what we have is in faith, Isaac proclaiming blessing. And if you're not familiar with Old Testament blessings, basically what they are is they are moments in time where a more important person, a father, says to those below him, here is the blessing that I'm taking of what I have and giving to you. It's not a blessing of money, it's a blessing of future. So he looks at Isaac and he looks at Jacob and he gives them blessings. Do you know that story? In case you don't, I heard somebody say yes, thank you. In case you don't know that story, we're going to step back into Genesis and we are going to take a look at it because there are parts of this story of Isaac that maybe aren't what we remember. Genesis, the story of this blessing for Jacob is in Genesis chapter 25. But we're going to start in Genesis. It's hard to flip. We're going to start in Genesis So the story is in 27. We're going to start in 25. And I want us to see something because, or to remember something, because Isaac had an experience. Raise your hand if you remember what Chris spoke on last week. It has to do with Abraham, a knife, a son, and a killing him on an altar. Do you remember that story? Okay, he didn't actually kill him on the altar. But it's the story of sacrificing Isaac. Who were the people who would remember that story? It's Abraham, obviously, right? Probably Isaac as well. Do you think you would forget that? Let's just say that you were laying on an altar and your father was about to plunge a knife into your heart to kill you. Are you likely to forget? No. And so now we have a man who's grown to become, or a boy who's grown to become a man who experienced this incredible provision from God, and it built his faith. So for just a moment, before we get into this story, let's think about that. No, I take that back. Children, youth, this is particularly for you. Anybody, call it 25 and down. If you're 26, it's still for you too. Don't give me that. What Isaac had was he had a moment in time where God showed his character in a way that he doesn't always do. A more perfect open display. And now Isaac is called to remember that. So when he becomes an adult, he follows in trusting the Lord just as he saw his father do. Just as he saw God provide for Abraham, he can provide for Isaac. And youth, children, adults, when we see God do that, when we see him bring about the result, now Isaac is not going to see all of the results, but he saw in this moment, he saw the result of faith. Remember that. You will be called on to teach that to your children. You will be called on to draw on that knowledge, that experience, that reality later in your life when things maybe aren't as easy or you don't see God do it. Now remember, Isaac only had two sons. God had promised to Abraham to make him into a great nation and gave him one son of that promise. That one son of that promise had two children of that promise. So now we've gone from one person in the promise to one person in the promise to two people in the promises. This is a bad start for this promise. Statistically speaking, this is a bad start. Moreover, it's a bad start because, well, they probably had a longer expected lifespan for people at that point in time. Now, let's say that differently. There was a longer amount of time that people lived if they lived a long time. But a lot of people died very, very young. This was not a safe time to live. This was not an easy time to live. They're basically nomads sojourning about in this promised land that God gave them, living out of tents, hunting for food, finding what they have, and hoping they don't get attacked by somebody who kills them. So even as young adults, it's not a promise that you're going to live very long. Now, Abraham lived a long time himself, but many died young. And so now we've got this reality of potential long life, but likely short life. We've got this moment where Isaac is going to bless his sons because God is going to do something great to them, even though there's only two. Let's go back to Genesis 25 and read this. Actually, no. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I missed a tab. All of the things that we've just said is why God writes what he does. It's called the Shema. It's a passage that many of you have heard. You'll hear again. It's an incredible passage of what we are to do and what was demanded or called of the Old Testament Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, and it says, "Hear, O Israel." And the reason this is called the Shema is the word Shema in Hebrew means to hear. So that's how it starts. They were not very creative in how they titled their things. It's very useful. The first word of the thing is how they titled it. Shema Yisrael is what it says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might," or all of your allness. That's really how that would translate, but that's not really an English thing. So it says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your allness, with everything that you have. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, parents, listen. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." So there's really three positions that people find themselves in: laying down, sitting of some sort, or standing and walking. In all three of those positions, as parents, we are told to teach to our children that the Lord is one. Why? So that they will remember it when they're older. Now, back to Isaac. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25 is the story. We're not really going to go through this. It's the story of Abraham's end. Everyone reaches an end. Everyone reaches a point in time where God says, your life here on earth is over. Everyone except two people. Remember? That 0.00001% of the population that has never died. Genesis 25, God dies, and we have the birth of Esau, or God dies. Oh my goodness. How did nobody say heretic when I was speaking? Lord, thank you for letting me realize that faux pas. Genesis 25, Abraham dies. Oh, I've never said a worse thing on stage. Whew. Shh. Getting mocked by the front row. All right. Abraham dies, and Isaac has children. But what does it say about Isaac? These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, and Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, an Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to Yahweh. God is funny. He does what would feel like to us stupid, foolish things. He called Abraham to father a great nation and gave him a barren wife. He gave him one son through that wife and gave him a... Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. So God gave this one son who was supposed to then father a great nation another barren wife. Now here's where it's really cool. Do you know what Isaac didn't do? He didn't follow his father's footsteps and take a different woman to be his surrogate mother, or the surrogate mother to his children. He stuck with Rebekah and he said, God, please give us children. And God did. But lest you think that Isaac was always a good person, always a good man, we're going to see more parallels here with his father, and we're going to see parallels then with his son. But here it says, and Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, And she said, if it is thus, what is happening to me? Okay, what that means is if this is God's will, why in the world is this difficult? Right? Shouldn't this be easy? If this is God's will and now I have children, he's obviously showing that he can do the impossible. If this is the case, then why is this a difficult pregnancy? Why is this hard for me to do? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. When her days to give birth were complete, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau, which means hairy. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. Jacob, do you know what Jacob means? So if Esau means hairy, Jacob means usurper, supplanter, almost like a thief. He came out with his brother. He came out holding his heel. And now remember, God has already said the older one will serve the younger one, which is not culturally normal. So we can forgive Isaac when he forgets that later. No, we can't. Isaac should have learned that when God says a thing is a thing, that thing will be the way that it is. But Isaac forgot this. And here's where Isaac fails in this process. Isaac fails because he decides to favor Esau over Jacob. But God has said Jacob will be the stronger, the better. In fact, if we go to Romans chapter 10 or chapter 9, verses 10 to 13, we're going to read a fascinating thing about these two. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. God chose Jacob to bring about the nation of Israel. He did not choose Esau to bring about the nation of Israel, but that's the story of Jacob and Esau. Now we're back to Isaac. Isaac forgot in that moment, later in life, he forgot the reality that God had said that he had chosen Jacob, not Esau, and he tried to give the birthright to Esau because Esau was older. So Jacob, being the honest man that he was, did what? Conned him out of it. Okay. Everyone makes mistakes. Now the time for blessing comes in chapter 27. The time of blessing comes in chapter 27, verses 5 to 13. What is going to happen? Genesis 27, 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So what happened is Isaac told Esau, I'm about to die. Go get some food so that we can have it. And what we're told is that Isaac loved Jacob. Do you know why? Because Esau fed him well. I have two sons that are not the same. And if I had to choose, it's Isaiah and Josiah, just so we're clear. If I were to choose which one I loved based on how well they fed me, let me tell you this. One of them can cook, the other is Isaiah. The other night, you think I'm joking. The other night, just to put this in perspective, Josiah, who's trying to become a giant human being, I'm convinced of it, he sends me a text. at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. If you want food, come down here. I'm cooking the last of the bacon. I had just brushed my teeth. So obviously I went and had some bacon. He was making a chicken bacon ranch sandwich, giant sandwich, at 11:30 at night. But when Josiah makes food, I come eat that food. That's just a reality. Jacob loved Esau, or Isaac loved Esau because he gave him good food. Rebekah loved Jacob. So Isaac favored one. Rebekah favored one. God had already chosen which was going to be the stronger, the greater, which was going to be the beginning of the nation of Israel. Nevertheless, what we have is the story of them forgetting God's promise and instead trying to accomplish things on their own. Now, I had told you earlier that there were parallels between Isaac and Abraham. I want to read a story to you and just see if you catch any of these parallels. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. So just in case you forgot that Genesis 12 had a famine that pushed Abraham out of the land, now there's a famine that's going to push Isaac potentially out of the land. And Isaac went over to Gerar to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt," which is where Abraham went. But this time he says, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens, and will go to your offspring, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac, verse 6, settled in Gerar. So Isaac, in the midst of a famine that could push him to Egypt, where presumably there was food, stayed where he was because that's what God told him to do. This is parallels, only he's making better choices than his father. That's encouraging. I have a great dad. I'm sure he made mistakes. My kids have a dad, and I know he made mistakes. And what I want is I want my kids to not make the same mistakes that I did. And here we see that, Isaac not making Abraham's mistakes, as long as we don't go past verse 6. Genesis 26, 7. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, now remember, she's an attractive lady. Yes, who whistled? Somebody whistled. I was right over here. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Now we're right back to copying his father. Right? I'm sure the motives are the same. Well, let's read. He said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking, "lest the men of this place kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." So now we are exactly back to where Abraham was. So kids, adults, anyone who's had a parent, if your parent made mistakes, don't just not copy some of them. Just don't copy all of them. It's easy to do. It's easy to copy the mistakes of your father. So Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says that God visits the iniquities of a father to the third and fourth generation. And that's a difficult concept to try to understand what all is being actually portrayed there. But let's take it out of the context of what will absolutely happen, because that is not a promise. It's a proverb. It's proverbial. Let's change it to the idea of the proclivity of one man's sin becomes the proclivity of his children's sin. The bent that you have toward things is the same bent your children will have. Why? Because they saw you do it. If you're an alcoholic, the odds of your children being alcoholics are far, far greater. If you're a liar, the odds of your children being liars is far, far greater. If you've got sexual sin of any sort, the odds of your children following sexual sin is far, far greater. Do they have to? No. Is it likely? Yes. Because as they grew up, that is what they saw. But children, being anyone who's had a parent, you don't have to do that. Isaac showed that in that he obeyed God in the ways that Abraham didn't sometimes. And we need to make sure that just because we don't see the results happening yet, that doesn't mean that we don't keep trusting and following the Lord. Isaac, now we're going to come to this story in 27. So Isaac has now sent his son off, Esau off, to go get food so that he can give his blessing to him. This blessing of Lord, being Lord over his brother. That's ultimately what the blessing is. Verses 5 to 13. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare. He said, bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 young goats that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me. So now Rebekah is helping her son accomplish a sin of deceiving their father so that he would receive the blessing of being the son in charge. But somehow, that was what God had already said was going to happen. And now it's coming about. But nevertheless, this is the story of Isaac. That's the story of Jacob and Rebekah. Jacob deceives now not only his brother and steals the blessing from him, but he deceives his father just before he dies. Isaac finds out. But what was Isaac's blessing? Because we need to stay with Isaac, where Isaac is in this story, because Isaac is the man of faith in this story. Later, we'll see that in Jacob. But right now, what we see is we see Isaac being a man of faith. How so? Because he believes that God will accomplish the impossible. One of my favorite math things is a piece of paper. Do you know? Paper's about 1/10 of a millimeter thick. Let's just call it 1/10 of a millimeter. If I fold it, it becomes how thick? Who said it? Good job with math. 2/10 of a millimeter thick. If I fold it in half again, it becomes 4/10 of a millimeter thick. If I fold it another time, it becomes 8/10 of a millimeter thick. And if I fold it 42 times, it becomes how tall? It reaches the moon. No joke. If I were to be able to fold this in half 39 more times, it would reach the moon. Carl can show you the math. So can I, but Carl could do it quicker, better, and you'll believe him. You're like, you're a pastor. You don't know math. Possibly true. But 1/10 of 1 millimeter folded once becomes insignificant. Twice becomes insignificant. And Isaac believed when he was that 1/10 of 1 millimeter of this seemingly impossible journey, that God was going to accomplish it through him, through his children. And now as the generations go on and on and on, we wind up with the Messiah, blessing all nations, offering opportunity to salvation for all people, for anybody who would believe. You didn't have to be part of Abraham's lineage. You had to trust in the one who was part of Abraham's lineage. Isaac believed that, so he blessed his son. Verse 20, we'll start in verse 26, chapter 27, verse 26. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." See, Isaac wasn't totally convinced that this was Esau at the moment. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, the nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone and everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And that's the blessing that he bestows on the wrong son, except it was the right son based on what God had said. But Isaac, not being able to see, not knowing, stood in faith, knowing that he was going to bless a son who this was going to happen through. As soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out of the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And the story takes a turn. And this isn't a story of, oh, poor Esau. Not poor Esau. He wasn't a nice guy either. God used potentially and sometimes not nice guys to accomplish his goal. And what we will see through Jacob is we will see faith. We'll see mistakes. We will see faith. What we see in Isaac is we see faith. Faith that God can build and do the impossible, even if he doesn't see it happen. Faith that God will accomplish what God says he will accomplish. Now note, that is not that God will accomplish what you decide or I decide or Isaac decides or Jacob decides he will accomplish. God will accomplish what he chooses to accomplish. And he calls on us, just like Isaac, to be men and women of faith, trusting that he will do what he says he will do. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16 says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." God is not ashamed to see these children of his call him their God, because their faith was in him. They set aside the things that they had and followed to where he called. They didn't think about going back. They didn't think about that. They thought about the home that God was bringing them to, even though they hadn't gotten there. They never saw it happen. Isaac never saw more than one fold of this paper that is going to eventually reach the moon. You almost couldn't imagine that it could happen. But it did. John chapter 20, verses 27 to 29. Then he said to Thomas, this is Jesus after his resurrection, and now we see the fulfillment of this promise. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand in my side and take and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Now note, it doesn't say Thomas put his hands in his side, put his fingers in his hands. It just says he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen? Which is the answer is yes. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's Isaac. Isaac believed, now not in Jesus, he didn't know him yet. But Isaac believed in the work of God. Isaac believed in what God was doing and that he would accomplish what he said. We have Christ to turn to believe in. And we can know that God will accomplish. God will bring about all the things in Christ that he promised, which is an eternal home for us in heaven once we die on earth. Not to make this about Eleanor, but I had a lot of times to talk with her in the last week of her life, and she never once in my conversations with her lost faith that she was going to be in heaven when she died. She knew that was the promise of Christ. She didn't know if she was going to live on earth or not. But she knew that the promise of Jesus was that she would live in heaven with him, and that's where she was going. Isaac knew that the promise of God was that he would make him into a great nation, so he blessed his sons, even though it couldn't possibly seemingly work out. We have the chance to believe in Jesus, even though things look like they are failing here. He's promised us a home that is not here, which is why we work for things that the world says are silly for us to work for. Because our home is in heaven. Earth is just a place we pass through. Follow Isaac's faith. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here, to know you, to follow you, to be like you. We pray, Father, that you would be honored and glorified in us. We pray that you would be pleased in us as your children and that you would continue to build in us the faith that we need to have in your Son. Thank you for loving us when we show faith. Thank you for loving us when we don't. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.